was just all a part of that comparison thing. And so, Paul addresses that by bringing forth a metaphor that every person on the face of this earth can connect to, which was the human body. And I want to read from that today, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 22. And I want to tie this into the fact of how God uses everyone, and especially how he uses maybe some of the quiet among us. Starting with verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body, because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body, because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would it smell anything? I just want to take a moment to stop there for a second. It seems like Paul is speaking from a side of a person who might have come to him and said, you know, I'm not like so-and-so. And that he was appealing to them, saying, look, even though you're not what you would consider more valuable in this church, you're still valuable. And there's a balance here. There is a need for every person here. And I want to say that to you. In our congregation, there is a need for every person, every kind of personality, because we all have different gifts. Let me go on. Verse 18. But our bodies have many parts. And listen, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if he had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body, listen closely, that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Hear that? The most necessary. Now, back in the day at the North Shore Church, I did a series of messages on the church and the body and its parts, and I brought with me a picture that we took and had it on this, well, that we took from that day. Now, I don't know if you could see that, but I'm interviewing an eye. Now, the eye is Jason Sinati, and in it, he played the part of an eye, and I brought him up. And I was asking him about being an eye and kind of appealing to him, saying that, you know, there, you know, you're not the only part of the body here. And his attitude was, well, yes, I am. Yeah. And it's all about me kind of deal. And so in the interactions, in our little drama, I was trying to appeal to him, saying, listen, if the whole body were an eye, it wouldn't be able to do the other things. And even Paul was talking about it. How could the head say to the feet, I don't need you, right? Because we would think the head, the brain, it's the center of everything. It controls everything. And it's true. But without feet, it's not really going anywhere. And if it does, it's going with a struggle, you know? And so in that, I was appealing to the eye about making way and allowing for other parts in the body to express themselves, to be appreciated, to be acknowledged, and to know that they have a place in the body of Christ. And I want to say that to you. Maybe you're in search of your place here in the body of Christ. And we're going to be doing more down the road to stimulate that. Maybe you need help. Maybe you feel lost. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you've been praying and you haven't gotten an answer, like one of the songs we sang today, you know? God doesn't answer right away. Maybe he's waiting. Maybe he's taking us to a place and building us and bringing us to where he is preparing us so we can enter in and be used by him. But whatever the case is, we all have a place here. And I want to go to Andrew this morning, which, by the way, if it wasn't Andrew, I could go to probably one of the other many members that weren't really publicly acknowledged so much in the scriptures. But I choose Andrew because he's kind of the opposite of his brother Peter. And so I want to kind of share with you some of his, there he is, some of his path and how God used him. Now, keep in mind that none of this is recorded in Scripture, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. None of this is recorded in Scripture, but it doesn't mean that God didn't use him. God did. So I want to tell you that according to Eusebius, bear with me with the struggle with these names, but Eusebius was a gentleman from Caesarea. He actually was a historian of Christianity. He actually became the bishop of Caesarea and was a big part of the biblical canon. He was a biblical canon scholar. And he, in turn, had a relationship with Origen of Alexander. Now, these are people's names you're not going to know, but trust me. They said, and he quoted Origen, that Andrew preached in Cynthia. And that was a region directly above the region where we talked about Thomas last week, that he preached in a region of Iran. Well, when Andrew went out, he made his way, and he was up in a region just above where Thomas was. Furthermore, the chronicles of a person by the name of Nestor, an East Slavic historical account, adds that Andrew preached in Russia along the Black Sea in Kiev and Ukraine along the Dnieper River. Kind of makes sense. He was a fisherman, right? So maybe, you know, as Paul made tents to go out and as he preached and ministered to people, Andrew did fishing and he made his way and he was bringing the message to others. The Dnieper River flows through Belarus and Novgorod, which is considered one of the oldest and most important cities, historical cities, in Russia today. And thus, as time went on, Andrew became the patron saint of the Ukraine, Romania, Russia. And he was considered, according to Hippolytus, the most important 2nd, 3rd century Christian theologian, that he went to a place called the Thrace, which was an area in Southeast Europe, which today covers parts of Bulgaria, Greece, and Turkey. Now, I don't mean to bore you with history and geography, but I kind of want to paint this picture, because it's not in Scriptures, about this quieter individual, Andrew, that he got around, that God used him. And though maybe the rest of the world wasn't aware of it, who was aware of it were the people that Andrew was touching. Maybe his works didn't get publicized, you know? We have no record of miracles and healings from Andrew. We have really no record of mass conversions like Peter's in Jerusalem and all the healings that that Jesus did and other disciples were a part of. But yet, Andrew played his part. He went, and God used him. Like Thomas, he is biblically unrecorded. A guy who's quietly working behind the scenes with not a whole lot of fanfare. He's not a Paul who wrote most of the New Testament. He's not a John who penned Revelations and his epistles as well as the gospel. He is, he's not Luke, who recorded all the acts of Paul and Peter in the book of Acts. And he's not even James. And, lo and behold, Jude, who had a very small book compared to the other letters in the Bible. But yet, Andrew was used. And I want to give you a key to take with you today that applies to Andrew as well as those who were even used more publicly and pronounced more often. Because whether up front or in the background, I think we need to hold on to this scripture in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you. Yeah, but I'm a truck driver. God is working in you. I was a plumber, but God was working in me. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care if you're a stay-home mom or you're a homeschool mom. God is working in you. And how dare we question, even ourselves, that God could possibly use us, you know? How could God use me? So what we're saying is, God made a mistake when he made you. God made a mistake when he wired you the way you are. Did God make a mistake? God doesn't make mistakes. We do, but he doesn't. So he knew what he was doing when he made you. And he's working with you now, and he knows what he's doing. And so God is at work, is working in you, giving you, because he's the one that gives, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God gives us the desire, because I got to tell you, if God didn't give us the desire, none of us would be sitting here today. Do you know it's the grace of God that actually pinched our hearts, that said, you need to hear this at some point in our life? You need to follow this, go this way? You need to pay attention here? It wasn't because of our infinite wisdom and that we had it down and I'm going to do this. That was the grace of God, prodding, poking, saying, hey, come here. I have something I want to show you. It's God that's doing it. He gives the desire. And I want to tell you, as we proceed forward in our faith with him, and we kind of get a sense, I think God wants to use me here. I think God wants to do this, or I think God wants to do that in my life or through my life. He's the one that gives the power to do it. Because in our own selves, we are all powerless. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. He's the one that dells out the power, man. He's the one that gives it to us. And so he's doing that. Because at the end of the day, we're going to please him. We're going to please him. We're following the footsteps of our Lord, who made it his business to please his Father. And God is entreating us as we grow and teaching us as we grow. And he's wanting to use us. And in that, we get to please him. Now, there are a great many people that we can think about, but I have to say that I want to point out a few people, and I want to talk about the fact that these people had a great support team. Billy Graham came to Long Island years ago. I actually had the opportunity to be on staff as a floor counselor. I didn't know what I was doing. Went for a couple of trainings, you know. They put you out on the floor, and what you do is you're looking for a supervisor in the middle of the floors. People come up to pray. That supervisor goes out and he starts to make connections with the people and talk to them, and then he catches people's eyes, you know, those who are on the sidelines, like myself, and he waves you in. So, you know, It was a very awkward thing. I've never done this before. So people come up, they're up for prayer, and I make my way down because I know I have to be in a certain position, and different people are getting waved, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm probably not going to get called tonight. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I probably should go sit back down. And all of a sudden, I get a guy's hand come up, looks at me, waves me up. And I get there, and he gives me a young man. I didn't know what this kid was going to tell me. But it happened to be a young man who grew up in a church. His father was a pastor, and he walked away from the church. And, you know, what do I say to this kid? Well, you know what? The scripture says, don't be worried about at that time what to say. I will give you my word. And all of a sudden, I said to him, I said, well, you know, turning back to God is as simple as going over to a phone booth and putting in a few quarters. Maybe back then it was a couple of dimes, but a few quarters. And picking up the phone and calling your dad, calling God. That's all it takes. And he just looked at me. And it registered. I could see in his eyes it registered. Now, I didn't have that. It wasn't like on a cue card or an index card that I had. I didn't know who I was going to end up with. But God did. And I prayed with that young man. And that was the last I saw of him. Now, Billy Graham is the guy up front, right? And we think, oh, and he was a great man, heart for God like no other, you know? But he couldn't have done the things that he did if he didn't have people who would come up alongside city after city after city that would become a part of the team and work with his organization to do what they did in every city that they went into. Because he had that support team, because he had feet and toes and fingers and veins and arteries and you name it, layers of skin, all that made for his organization to be as great as it was. Andy Stanley has a wonderful church, right? North Point. He's up there. He brings the word. He communicates in such a way. I get it. I love it. I love it. But he couldn't do what he does if he didn't have a great support team. People that are committed to Christ as well as him, doing what they're doing. See? And I want to say to you, the same is here today. Think about it. I get up before you every Sunday. But I couldn't do it without Pastor Nick and the band coming and doing worship. Because who wants to come to church and listen to a 62-year-old 63? I'm still 62, by the way. My birthday's on the 23rd. Everybody's rushing it. Josh, Tim. Yeah, happy birthday, Pastor. Happy. I got a couple of days. Give a guy a break, okay? So, who wants to come to church and just sit here for 20 minutes and just only hear a 63-year-old man preach his heart out? There are other things that have to come around this. And so I appreciate, whenever the band comes up, the work that Pastor Nick, Tiffany, and the rest of them all do to bring the message, the devotion, to play the drums week after week, bass, etc. It's what makes our time what it is. And then the prayer that goes behind it throughout the week and on Sunday mornings here at 9:30. You know, it's all a part of it. What is being done with the children downstairs so that our families have a healthy, safe environment where our children get to hang out with one another, learn about Jesus, and grow to know each other and be a part of the church, because they're as significant as anyone else in our sanctuary and in our church today. See, all this makes up for the body of Christ, and not everyone is up front like myself or Pastor Nick. It's the people that come in and fill the other areas, our sound people. I mean, the work and the terror that was going on upstairs today to get this on board so that we can have the message. I'm on the phone to Matt. Matt's like, okay, I'm running a little late. I'm on Nichols Road. I say, okay, Matt Gazzo, call Frankie. Frankie Donato, get on the phone. We need to do this. We're kind of scurry to kind of make it happen. But, you know, I don't care that we were kind of late in getting it up. I'm grateful that they were here. I'm grateful for Tony week in and week out. I'm grateful for Matt Gazzo and Frank and Matt Ostrander, you know, because they make this place what it is. You are all being used of God. And if you're not, I'm sure at some point he's got a place for you to where you will. But even when you're not actively involved here, every day that you are living and breathing, God is using you in some way. Some way God is using you. So, and when I talk about people like Billy Graham and his organization, Andy Stanley, etc., and any organizations within the Christian realm that I could talk about, it is 1 Corinthians 12:18 at work. Listen, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Just where he wants it. So, I mean, that just allows me to kind of drop my shoulders and relax and say, you know what? God is in control of this place. God is. I'm not. I have to follow his lead, but God is in control of this place. And I want to say to you before you go this morning, what's your part? What do you think God has in store for you? How would he like to use you? You know? What would he like to do in and through your life, you know? And I don't care if you're shy. So what? God uses shy people. I don't care if you're nervous. I'm not sure when I go to do something it's going to work out. Yeah, welcome to my world, you know? I don't care if you hesitate, you know? You don't feel good about yourself. I'm hesitant. I don't know if I should go there and do this. But I want to say to you that if you come here and you greet somebody and you smile and you give them a handshake, you wrap your arms around them, you welcome them, you share a cup of coffee with them, a donut, a cookie, whatever is downstairs, a birthday cake. I'm telling you that God can use you, and God is using you, because we're all connected and together, and we have a way, God has a way through his Holy Spirit who empowers us to encourage one another. So no one should be saying, well, I don't sing like so-and-so, or I can't play an instrument like what's-his-name, or, you know, I mean, you know, I love to play guitar. I can't play like Sean or Pastor Nick. I don't have to. I have them, right? It doesn't matter what you're lacking, what's missing, what you feel like you don't have. God uses who you are and what you have. And that's the encouraging thing. We don't have to be somebody else. You just have to be yourself and ask God, what would you like to do in my life? All right? So we have someone who cleans the church, so we have a nice environment every time we walk in, who decorates the church. You know, they're not up front tooting their horn, but they're serving God. And they make this place what it is. And so, whether you're loud or quiet, maybe, you know, God is at work. And this is the question I want you to take with you today. What desires does the Lord want to plant, or has been, and maybe he's been trying to get you to move on them, but what desires is he planting in your heart to serve him by? What? What desires, what thoughts, what is he giving you? Now, if it's not happening, maybe he's expecting you to go back and ask him why. And maybe he has something else in mind for you to do. You know? Sometimes I think I should do this, and sometimes I get corrected, and God says, no, I know that's what you're thinking, but this is what I have for you to do. But the important thing is to going to him and the listening. Going to him and getting his instruction. See, because I think that that's a big part of this next year. Because once he does to start to do that and he starts to guide us, then he wants to empower us. Because God never sends us down a path that he won't empower us with the things that we need to do, what he's asking us to do, or to go down the path that we're going down. That means he'll equip you. He'll equip me. And he does the equipping. Because it's not about our being sufficient. It's about his, right? How often we hear, and it can be very easily be a cliche, but God doesn't call the equipped. You know, he called me because I have it all together. I could tell you, he called me knowing full well I didn't have it together. And we're going to kind of touch on this next week and finish the series, God Calls. He calls the unequipped so that he can do the equipping. So that we get it through this thick Italian skull. Get it. That he's the one that's making things happen. That he's the one that's doing the work. That he's the one that gets the glory and the praise and the honor. That it's all about him. He doesn't call the equipped, but he does equip the called. So you could sit here today and say to me, I don't have what it takes. I don't care. Is God putting something on your heart? If he is, he's going to give you what you need. He's going to do it. Because it always comes back around him. And God does great things. All he asks us to do is to be willing to follow, to listen, to pay attention to him. That's all. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for the birthday greetings, and let's pray. Father, I'm reminded this morning as I bow my head and close my eyes that our ways are not your ways. Our thoughts so often are not your thoughts. And so, God, I pray for your help as we enter into this new year. Your guidance and your instruction. I pray, oh God, that you would open our hearts and our ears, oh God, that we might be able to hear you. And Lord, that we would take all our plans, all our thoughts, everything that makes us who we are, and lay them at your feet, bring them to your altar, and surrender them to you. And then say, oh God, what would you have me to do? Lord, I pray this for myself. I pray this for our people. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. We love you, Lord, and we love each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
arms around us and putting that desire in our hearts to know you and to love you. And we are so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't forget the cake. Don't forget the cake and the celebration downstairs. God bless you.